What does Pentecost mean for us? Is its meaning found in the replication of the same experience that occurred in our second reading? There are Christians who believe so. They believe that you need to receive a second blessing, what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Most Christian leaders and churches down through the centuries have said no. The Holy Spirit isn't shy to the party. He or she, the definite article in the Greek, occurs in both the masculine and feminine, so I'm not just being politically correct, but not to get sidetracked. The Holy Spirit, I said, is not shy to the party. The Holy Spirit comes with Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, when you are baptized into Christ's one holy Catholic and apostolic church, you are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. When someone is baptized in churches of the great tradition, we baptize into the Holy Trinity, not just into Jesus. Our baptism by the Holy Spirit is when we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the meaning of Pentecost is not, I assert, found in a second or third or fourth experience of God. However profound, however life-changing, and they do happen. Neither is it found in a replication of signs, speaking in tongues, something that appears to be tongues of fire or the rushing of a sound that sounds like wind, the sound of a rushing wind, sorry. Many Christians, reading the scriptures in a certain way, argue that it does. They cite anecdotal evidence of gatherings of Christians where such phenomena are said to have occurred. Without in any way wanting to act superior or arrogantly to dismiss what others have experienced, because that's not my intention, I would simply say that the core meaning of Pentecost is not found there. It is found precisely in this, that in whatever situation the church finds herself, she is in need of God's power in order that she might find the courage and skill to exercise her mission as God's stewards in God's world. And in that situation, to those very people, wherever they are located in time and in space, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's guidance and help is made evident. In other words, the meaning of Pentecost is how it is that Jesus Christ comes alive for us in our present circumstances and with our particular challenges. Pentecost, rather than some esoteric event, is the ultimate rubber meets the road reality of our faith. It is the yeast of the resurrection of Christ kneaded into the endless possibilities of this parish and of our lives. Possibilities is a word that sounds so hopeful, doesn't it? But when faced with a valley of dry bones, it is only the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that creates them to be alive bones, to be filled with life, to have sinews attached to them. In many ways, Israel, you and I, and our world faces one impossibility after another. Try as we might, we seem to keep digging holes, not building better dikes. And so God's mercy, forgiveness, and power is what we need if our positive talk of possibilities is to go anywhere, not just to be empty. In the situation of our second reading, there was no greater need than to tell the thousands of those assembled what was happening and how Jesus was at the center of a new world order that was going to reach to the ends of the world. It was their impossibility turned into possibility. The other day, I'm listening to a show that's debating the effectiveness of standardized testing in schools based on the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Parenthetically, as a kid, I'd always get on my dad's case, my dad was a elementary school principal, about the three R's, because they don't all start with R. Don't teachers know how to spell? And even as a child, I thought that was delicious, you know, delicious irony and a very cheeky question. Anyway, getting outside of that parenthesis now, back to what I want to say. I'm listening to this program, and nobody's disputing the focus on these three subjects. They're very important. But they're all saying the world has changed. The world has changed, and what we need just as much in our day and age is to teach children the skills of collaboration, consensus building, networking, and adaptability. Now, I'm sure there's educators here in the room who would have a thing to say about this, and my point is simply to bring home the fact that we don't live in the same world as the original followers of Jesus did on that first Pentecost Sunday. Unlike the original followers gathered in Jerusalem, we need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, not in order to proclaim to gathered thousands in many different tongues, but to the pregnant pause, because it's for us to fill in that blank. We need to fill that in. We need to be the ones who are awaiting Pentecost. What are our greatest needs? What is our mission now? These are the questions we were discussing, as David wonderfully shared at our synod this past weekend. What does it mean to belong, to long for God and community? We're in the process of a deep shift in our culture. No one expert has a handle on the deep trends. No one church leader or lay leader has all the answers about how we're called to collaborate with God in the midst of uncertainty. But what Pentecost means is that we will not be left without help. The Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit is with us so that we can know God, experience Jesus Christ, and in those relationships change the world we live in for better. I was looking at saints that the Anglican Church celebrated this past week in light of this message of Pentecost. 1,000 years ago, just as England and Europe were emerging from the Dark Ages, God empowered a monk named Dunstan to reorganize the monastic movement. His particular charism was crafts and beauty. We have extraordinary beauty and art in our Christian heritage, partially because people like Saint Dunstan showed us the way. This week, the Anglican Church has recognized the beatification of Oscar Romero. We recognize the Roman Catholic's beatification process. The former Archbishop of El Salvador, who was martyred 35 years ago this week. He stood for the poor against the shameless exploitation of the land barons and paid with his life. The meaning of Pentecost is that God will enable the church to be relevant and present within a particular culture, a particular time and space. Now, there are caveats, since God is committed to working with us and not without us. We need, like those first followers who gathered in Jerusalem, to wait, which means in our context, not repeating, not replicating the event of the upper room, but learning to become aware of God together. I'm going to trust that this is what we want to do. So I propose that in Pentecost time, also known as ordinary time, the time from this feast till Advent 1, I love the fact that ordinary time is Pentecost time, that we learn to become aware of God in the Scriptures the way that Peter did. We don't have time to look in any detail, but it's an extraordinary thing what Peter does in his teaching about the giving of the Holy Spirit, which he claims is the result of Christ's resurrection. He takes a prophecy from the book of Joel and tells the assembled thousands that instead of the event of Israel's exile, it refers to the giving of the Spirit in Jerusalem on that very day. He goes on to powerfully reinterpret central biblical texts around the ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, doing what Jesus had himself begun to do in the famous appearance of Christ to two disciples on the Emmaus Road, where he explained the Scriptures from front to back in reference to himself. Scripture comes alive and meets the people of God in their particular need, in their particular time. Every single powerful reform movement has had a scriptural impulse. If we will simply gather and listen to the Scriptures, we will find them speaking to us with new and fresh power. I propose that we learn this practice through something called Lectio Divina, divine reading, and that we learn and practice it together for 30 minutes each Wednesday evening. I note that Pentecost is profoundly the event that celebrates the democratization of ministry. All of us, regardless of station, age, gender, are called to know God and make God known. Though Peter is the chief spokesperson, he only does so, you will note, after thousands have proclaimed in their own tongues and in their own accents the mighty works of God. In addition to the practice of Lectio, I propose that for 30 minutes, we practice the Holy Examen, a way to review our interactions, thoughts, and relationships of the day, a way to realize that our ordinary time is really God's time, Holy Spirit time. So 30 minutes of Lectio, 30 minutes of Examen, 1 hour on Wednesday evening this summer. This combined with a planned parish visitation program, which you'll hear more about, will open us this summer to the meaning of Pentecost for us. For us. We are at an exciting time in our parish life. We are about to take next steps in reestablishing this parish. All of us can be a part of something special as we find God meeting us. Yes, in our equivalent to the three R's, the things we have normally done, but in new ways, as we learn to open to new possibilities and find together that we can use that word, precisely because the Holy Spirit is with us and for us.